Los incidentes obligaron a una suspensión temporal de la ceremonia de instalación de la convención y hasta por momentos se temió que el evento podría hasta no realizarse. Una inesperada, muy buena gestión de la funcionaria del Tribunal Calificador de Elecciones, Carmen Gloria Valladares, cuya misión era simplemente proclamar a los convencionales electos y presidir de oficio la ceremonia, permitió llevar a buen término la apertura del evento. Pero si por un lado hubo buena voluntad en ese gesto que todos los sectores políticos de la convención aplaudieron, por otro lado también ha habido otras situaciones con simbolismo negativo. Esto último quedó manifestado en los problemas técnicos que el día lunes impidieron el inicio de los trabajos de la convención. Detalles tan absurdos como una inadecuada preparación del recinto que alberga las sesiones, sin conexión Wi-Fi en alguna de sus salas y con imposibilidad de cumplir las normas sanitarias de aforo, llevaron a la suspensión de los trabajos. Esto también llevó a un duro cuestionamiento del soporte técnico que el gobierno de Sebastián Piñera estaba obligado a proveer. Las insuficiencias fueron tantas que en algún momento hasta se pensó en trasladar el local de sesiones a otro sitio. En lo concreto, sin embargo, quedó en evidencia que en el gobierno del actual presidente chileno, esto de la convención constitucional, con una clara mayoría de delegados de corrientes de izquierda y progresista, no ha sido muy de su agrado. Hay quienes han señalado que más que meras negligencias o incompetencia de parte de la Comisión de Apoyo Técnico y Logístico a la Convención, habría habido un cierto sabotaje al trabajo de la Convención. Esto ha llevado incluso a algunos a pensar en el Congreso una posible acusación constitucional contra el propio presidente de la República, responsable en última instancia por las notables fallas en el desarrollo de un proceso que tiene la mayor importancia para el futuro del país. Más allá de esas dificultades, lo importante es que el más significativo proceso por el cual se reemplace la anquilosada institucionalidad chilena ya está en marcha. Muy importante también, ese proceso también augura el fin de la constitución dictada durante la dictadura de Augusto Pinochet, que consagró el modelo económico neoliberal causante de las mayores inequidades sociales en Chile. Last Sunday, July 4th, marked the beginning of an unprecedented process in Chile. For the first time in its history, the country's political constitution will be drafted by a convention whose members are all citizens directly elected by popular vote. This constituent body also has other important characteristics. It is composed of an equal number of men and women, and some of its members represent the country's native peoples. The installation of the Constitutional Convention, as the 155-member body is called, was full of symbolism, some good, some not so good. The date chosen, although few in Chile remember it, has an important meaning. On July 4th, 1811, at the request of then patriot ruler José Miguel Carrera, the first National Congress was inaugurated in Chile, the first legislative body to reinforce the idea of giving an institutional framework to the process of independence from Spain. This body will also elaborate what became the first Chilean constitution. 210 years later, a new constitution must begin to be written, this time with broad citizen participation. Another important symbolic event was the election of the convention's board of directors, which will be chaired by a Mapuche woman, Elisa Loncón, an English teacher with a doctorate in linguistics from a European university, trilingual, speaking Mapudungun, the language of the Mapuche people, Spanish and English. Her candidacy was supported by a large majority of leftist and indigenous people's convention members. The inauguration of the event itself, however, had some setbacks when demonstrators marching in support of the convention were dispersed by police forces. The incidents forced a temporary suspension of the convention's installation ceremony, and at times it was even feared that the event might not take place at all. An unexpectedly very good management of the official of the Tribunal Calificador de Elecciones, Carmen Gloria Valladares, whose mission was simply to proclaim the elected convention delegates and preside over the ceremony, allowed the opening of the event to be carried out successfully. But if on the one hand there was goodwill in this gesture, which all the political sectors of the convention applauded, on the other hand, there have also been other situations with negative symbolism. The latter was manifested in the technical problems that prevented the convention from starting its work on Monday, such absurd detail as an inadequate preparation of the venue that hosts the sessions, without Wi-Fi connection in some of its rooms, and with the impossibility of complying with the sanitary norms of capacity, led to the suspension of the work. This also led to a harsh questioning of the technical support that the government of Sebastián Piñera was obliged to provide. The inadequacies were so great that at some point it was even considered to move the session venue to another site. In concrete terms, however, it became evident that the Constitutional Convention, with a clear majority of delegates from leftist and progressive movements, had not been very much to the liking of the current Chilean president's government. There are those who have pointed out that more than mere negligence or incompetence on the part of the Commission of Technical and Logistic Support to the conventions, there would have been a certain sabotage to the work of the convention. This had even led some to present in Congress a possible constitutional accusation against the President of the Republic himself, ultimately responsible for the notable failures in the development of a process that has the greatest importance for the future of the country. Beyond these difficulties, the important thing is that the most significant process to replace the outdated Chilean constitutional framework is already underway. Very importantly, this process also augurs the end of the constitution imposed during the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, which consecrated the neoliberal economic model that caused the greatest social inequalities in Chile. Good day.
Este país deje de mentirse así. Bueno, ahora sí vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 11 de julio. Entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos el Consulado General de la República Argentina tiene el agrado de invitar a la comunidad argentina de Quebec y las provincias marítimas a realizar la promesa a la bandera nacional. Los requisitos para participar son ser argentino y o hijo o hija de argentinos, tener al menos 9 años de edad o estar cursando el equivalente al 4º grado del nivel primario de acuerdo con el sistema argentino y además residir en el extranjero. Las personas que estén interesadas en participar y manifestar su voluntad de jurar la bandera deben contactarse con el consulado argentino en Montreal.
Y el Consulado General de Chile en Montreal informa a la comunidad chilena residente que con ocasión de las primarias presidenciales del próximo domingo 18 de julio, el local de votación para Montreal nuevamente será el Centre William Hingston, ubicado en el 419 Rue Saint-Roch. Esto es en el Metro Park, buses 80 y 16. Mayor información sobre quienes pueden votar en el sitio web consulta.cervel.cl.
Y en lo que respecta a la vacuna contra el COVID-19, las reservaciones están abiertas en Montreal para ser vacunado contra el COVID. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés o en inglés. Y también se puede llamar por teléfono al 1-877-644-4545. Reitero, 1-877-644-4545.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, nublado con una temperatura máxima de 26 grados. Para esta noche, periodos de nubosidad con una mínima de 17 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, solo tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@comercialgmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre el sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección: www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Te regalo la primera planta que en mi vida yo sembré en la tierra. Te regalo el cofrecito que antes de morir me regaló la abuela. Te regalo la emoción que sentí al ver nacer a mi primer hermano. La sonrisa de mamá al verme deletrear y mis primeros pasos. Mi primer amor de infancia y mis primeros zapatos, mi primera travesura y el desorden de mi cuarto, mi primer amor de infancia y mis primeros zapatos, mi primera travesura y el desorden de mi cuarto, mi primer día de colegio, mi peinado, mi primer cuaderno, mis amigos de secundaria, mi pasado, todo eso, mi primer día de colegio, mi peinado. olvidado mi primer cuaderno, mis amigos de secundaria, mi pasado, todo eso. Las noches de luna llena y los aguaceros cuando ya es invierno, nuestras fiestas patronales a vernos a rubios en cada diciembre, y juntos en año nuevo tratar de cumplir los sueños que se tienen, la experiencia de mis viejos y el dolor de sus ancestros, los poderes de sus dioses, Dios y sus anhelos, la experiencia de mis viejos y el dolor de mis ancestros, los poderes de sus dioses, sus odios y sus anhelos. Mi futuro, mi voz, mi aliento, solo quiero ponerlo en tus manos, y a medida que pase el tiempo, tú comprendas que te amo. Mi primer día de colegio, mi peinado, mi primer cuaderno, mis amigos de secundaria, mi pasado, todo eso.
Corazón que ya no necesito.
resultó muy perra mi suerte, me dejó solito. Y como ruge el león, y desde la H hasta Colombia con Payesi, ¡ay, ay! Repítela, Rafa, un príncipe azul, y hasta sobradito, la quise lo más chido, la quise bonito, le hice esta canción.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
I'm Skip Airy, N2EI of Southern New Jersey. If you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, July the 11th. My name is Sheldon. I am here with Gilles. We welcome you to our half hour of news and information from the world of radio. We're here every week, Sunday mornings at 10:30, 14:30 UTC. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at ckut.ca, CKUT at 90.3 here in Montreal, the adjacent to McGill University, just across the street from the radio station. And we have a Facebook group for you as well. It's International Radio Report. We welcome one new member this week. His name is Bashir. And if you miss our show on the radio, you can get it on YouTube. Tune in just after the show airs live, and you'll find us at youtube.com/International Radio Report. And we have 389 subscribers there right now, heading up towards 400. So we thank you all for locking into us, whichever way you do it. We appreciate you being there. It's one of those weeks where we don't have a lot of radio news going on, but we scrounged around, found a few things for you, which we hope you'll find interesting. And we'll get things started with something I don't think we've talked about on the show before. If you are a shortwave listener, and if you like music, we have something that should fit both bills for you. A gentleman named Alan Rowe, who lives in Teddington in the United Kingdom, has been putting together a special feature and makes it available on the internet for people. And it's a list of music programs that you can find on shortwave. And he's just updated the list for the A21 broadcast period. As I said, Alan is an avid shortwave listener. He's also a member of our CIDX club. And he produces this excellent listing of music programs available on shortwave. The latest edition of his list, which is regularly updated, is now available. The list includes the times, the days of the week, the station name, the language of the broadcast, the program name, and the frequencies for each program. And each of these shows is a music-based program. So particularly if you're listening to different countries, you might be hearing a wide variety of types of music, maybe some sorts of music you've never heard before. So it's worth checking it out. The latest update is 28 pages long, so there's a lot of information. Versions of the list may also appear in the BDXC publication Communication and in the NASWA Journal. And Tom Witherspoon has now set up a dedicated page where his document, where Alan's document can be downloaded, and that appears on the swelling.com website. We'll post a link on our Facebook page for you with details of where you can download the list. Or if you don't have Facebook, you can email us radioreport@yahoo.com and we'll email the link to you. So we thank Alan for his efforts in producing and regularly updating this excellent resource for shortwave listeners. I was quite surprised looking through it again, seeing just how many shows he's managed to track down.
It's amazing. And I mean, there's a lot of work in that list. And this is great. I mean, I get requests from time to time on live shows and even emails, people saying, anybody doing a list of, you know, certain types of programming or, and a lot of people, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago on the live show. A lot of people enjoy the diversity of music available on shortwave. So this is definitely a amazing resource and a lot of fun. I'll be posting the link also on the YouTube channel in the description below the video when it is aired on Sunday.
So thanks to Alan for producing that list once again. We really do appreciate that. Next, we go to a story from ABC News in Australia.
Yep, a nice story, the kind of story we like. Ham radio helping lifelong hobbyists stay mentally fit in old age. So by ABC News Australia via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. Australia's ABC News has an excellent article on the benefits of amateur radio in old age, which says it comes with all the benefits of social media, but without any of the downsides. And one of Australia's oldest ham radio enthusiasts says it is also the perfect hobby for retirees looking to stay mentally sharp. West Australian-based Norman Gomme took to the ham radio over 40 years ago and now aged 82 has no intention of signing off just yet. As one of Australia's estimated 10,500 licensed ham radio operators, Mr. Gomme, also the president of the Bunbury Radio Club, he says it is rare that a day goes by without him sending at least a couple of hours in his purpose-built ham shack. I find it very good for me, Mr. Gomme told the ABC amid a dazzling display of flashing lights and crackling radio static. I'm 82 years of age and you need to keep your mind working actively all the time, he said. Ham radio requires a lot of cognitive skills and a lot of understanding technology. So I find that's very good for keeping me active. Operating under the call sign Victor Kilo 6, Golf Oscar Mike, Mr. Gomme is able to converse with fellow ham radio enthusiasts in just about any country on Earth, depending on the time of day, using an internationally recognized phonetic alphabet. We're bound by regulation not to say naughty things over the radio waves, and we have a code of conduct which makes us behave relatively politely to each other, Mr. Gomme said. It's just a general ethic among ham radio people that you behave well to each other. So it's got all the pluses of social media, but none of the downsides. And the topic mostly discussed among ham radio operators? Mainly the weather, Mr. Gomme said with a dry laugh. On the international frequencies, the conversation tends to be a bit limited, so we stick to topics like weather and discussing equipment, but the thrill of it lies in making contact with someone on the other side of the planet. This is definitely a great way to stay active. As we get older, it's important to stay active and mentally active. Ham radio operations, I think, is a great way to do that, and even for radio listeners, shortwave radio, and playing around with radio and listening to signals from around the world. And of course, in this case, having contacts with people around the world definitely keeps you active, keeps you fit, and it's a great way to retire, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily involves a lot of understanding of technology, though, as you said. You know, to a certain extent, yes, there are certain things you need to know when operating ham radio equipment. You know, you are playing with RF and antennas and high power sometimes. So, yeah, there are a few things that you need to be understanding of. But if you look at a listener's side of things, though, that's, you know, much simpler. I mean, turn on the radio and sit back and, you know, you need to keep your mind active. That's really the key. And absolutely, listening to a lot of different things and evaluating what you're listening to. And, you know, you're learning from listening as well. So it really is a good activity, I think, radio in general. And I think, you know, a lot of older people like, still to this day, we have a lot of stories about that older generation liking to stay with their traditional radio. And I think that's all part of it. You know, you're taking in information and thought processes working all the time. So, yeah, I think mental health ties in perfectly to it.
Oh, yeah.
There's also a physical aspect to it. Radio for people that are either physically disabled or blind people, radio has been just an incredible resource for them, you know, for entertainment, for education, for a lot of different purposes. So I think it serves a lot of benefits to people really of any age, if you ask me.
And a lot of people also, you know, are lonely. There's a lot of people that live alone in their homes. This is another great way of connecting with others. And ham radio is fun. You have conversations with people. You know, it's almost like having people over your home. And even radio listening is a good way of, you know, finding that sense of, you know, loneliness that maybe can easily get over if you don't, you know, occupy yourself with something. So radio in general and ham radio is a great way to just have company with a radio.
Yeah, I know a few people that are insomniacs too, and
yep.
Radio throughout the night, you know, tuning around in the dark and just hearing different things coming at you, relaxing, you know, sometimes, yeah, you can find boring radio and help you go to sleep maybe. There's all kinds of benefits. But yeah, I think there's so many pluses to it all, and whether it's ham radio or listening, regular conventional radio, shortwave radio, maybe you've got a scanner that you sit and listen to what's going on in your city or your town. I think they all fit in quite nicely to keeping us active, keeping us thinking and motivated a little. All right, like to get you up to date every week on what's happening with the sun and how it's impacting our radio listening. So what's happening this week?
So we're having some activity. There's a couple of sunspots that have appeared and disappeared. A lot of them have actually appeared just as they were crossing the border of the sun and, you know, moving to the far side. But a lot of them actually created, you know, left their mark. There was some X flaring, the first X flare in 4 years last week. And as the sun this week has a few departing sunspots, one of them, AR2840, erupted twice on July 9th. So it produced M-class solar flares and, of course, radio blackouts on the sunlit side of the Earth. Pulses of X radiation ionized the top of the Earth's atmosphere. So two minor radio blackouts over Asia and another one over Europe. Mariners, aviators, and ham radio operators have noticed unusual propagation effects at frequencies below 15 megahertz. So interesting activity here. We see that the sun is really waking up now with its new solar cycle. Solar flux staying a little low at 73. It had peaked last week at one time almost at 100, which was really nice. But it should, you know, improve over the next months. K-Index, rather quiet as we are recording the show. There is a solar wind flowing from a equatorial coronal hole that could reach Earth on July 11th or 12th. That means unsettled conditions are possible. But you know what? The best way to know what's happening out there is to turn on that radio and listen.
This is Margie Barrett of Lansdale, Pennsylvania, listening to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on TKUT 90.3 FM Montreal.
Now, we talked about solar conditions affecting the planet, and sometimes weather conditions can do some strange things with radio signals as well. And we're in a period right now throughout the summer, generally, and occasionally at other times of the year as well. But summer is a period of the year where we look for something called e-skip.
Yep.
And it's happening. It has been happening in the last few days.
There's quite a lot of it, too. And reports of FM radio stations and all those. E-skip is something that can really, really help very high frequencies propagate. And sometimes it's, you know, it stays down to the 27, 28 megahertz, 11 meter band or 10 meter band openings. Sometimes it's 6 meters at 50 megahertz. But this week we've heard some really amazing e-skip that actually propagated the FM radio band. We've had a lot of reports of stations from, you know, thousands of kilometers away actually skipping over to your FM radio, which is amazing and lets you listen to stations from far away. If you have a FM radio and it's not too crowded in the city where you live, Montreal's a little tough one for that because stations are everywhere, but if it's a little quieter and you got some empty spots in between your regular FM stations, this is the time right now because summer and especially around the solstice, it's e-skip season, basically. There's a lot of unknowns of e-skip. We know weather does play a big role in it, but we know that it's a mix of many different phenomena that actually creates these really big patches of ionized clouds that will bounce off signals on very, very high frequencies. So it's time to try and listen to that. There's a few resources also on the internet to check that out. So maybe we could share a couple of those in the Facebook page. There is a lot of activity right now. And like I said, FM radio stations were broadcasting. A lot of people hearing 10-meter FM repeaters. There's these FM repeaters on the top of around 29,600 to 29,700. A lot of those have been heard. The one that's been heard the most right now is 29,620, I think, for out of New York. Is one of the popular ones. Reminds me of the good old days of the 90s when there was a lot of skip. There was one in the Virgin Islands on 29.66 that would come in regularly. But it's a very interesting phenomena that isn't anything related to time of day. Solar activity gives you propagation depending on time of day, daytime, nighttime. Sporadic E can happen at any time. That means you can listen to some of that skip at midnight or 2 a.m., even if it's dark, because it's not dependent on solar activity. And that means any time of the day, you should take a listen. A couple of tips. One of the ways to see if there is some e-skip, channel 6 of the CB band, it's also known as the Super Bowl channel, it's at 27025. If you start hearing these guys from the United States that half of them you probably can't even understand what they're actually saying, e-skip is probably happening. That means you start tuning around anything above, you know, 25 megahertz, 10 meter band, 28 megahertz, and go up. If you have a scanner radio, e-skip can bring a lot of communications from 30 to 50 megahertz. There's still a lot of, you know, police stations, law enforcement, fire departments in the United States that actually use 30 megahertz. So sometimes you'll hear some activity of, you know, maybe a police chase. And the fun of it is trying to pinpoint where are they located, because now you'll hear streets and names of counties that are not familiar to you. So there's kind of that little detective work to try to find out where does this come from. 6 meter band is a great one to go to. I go there regularly to check out what's there. I've heard in the past couple of years with e-skip, Mexico, even Brazil on 6 meters, 50 megahertz. And when it's really intense, of course, a good old FM radio, just, you know, take your favorite FM radio, tune around in between your favorite stations, and you might hear stations from really far away, and you'll be amazed how easy it is. When Skip is really good, these stations come in like a local station.
A lot of these stations, too, with depending on the radio you have, your FM radio, if you have RDS, where the station IDs come up digitally, that can really help you to identify some of the stations that you might be getting on FM. Because quite often, you know, there are long periods of music, there may not be IDs on a regular basis. But if you've got the RDS readout, that can really help you identify what stations you're hearing. And they tend to be in clusters from certain areas. There seems to be a distance where the opening is reaching. And that can really help pin down, you know, what area to focus on. I know some of the reports I saw over the last day or two were it was reaching quite high into the FM band, which doesn't happen a lot. Yep. It's generally down in the low part of the FM band where you see more activity. But we were seeing reports up around 100 to 104 megahertz on the FM band with stations from long distance coming in. And when they come in, they come in loud and clear, too. Oh, it's not sort of fringe area. What does happen, though, is quite often stations drifting in and out on top of each other, because you'll be getting more than one signal on the same frequency, and they sort of wash over each other periodically. So it's really strange. I've tended to notice that one of the things involving weather with this is temperature inversions.
Yep.
If you've had a hot, steamy, muggy day, and all of a sudden a big storm rolls in and the temperature drops really quickly, and you get that inversion process going on, we tend to see FM skip and e-skip happening at those, under those conditions. So those are some things to keep a watch on. And it could be happening at either end of the reception path, too.
Yep.
It may be totally calm in your area, but at the other end is where they've got all this activity going on. And then it opens up, just, it's basically like a tunnel, and it just, you know, the stuff comes right through, and it's really quite interesting when it happens.
One of the things also I've noticed this week, some people were sharing pictures of TV skip on HDTV. You know, when we moved on from analog television to HDTV, one of the questions that arise from that is it still possible to DX on the TV? And apparently, yes. And when eSkip happens, you start scanning. One of the great features of the TVs today, you can start, if you want, an automatic scan of the digital channels. And of course, that means you'll have to have a antenna plugged into your TV. Because yes, there are still some stations that you can get with rabbit ears, even on modern HD TVs. And you just plug in an antenna on that TV, start scanning the different channels. You might be surprised to see that channels from far away, even on HD, are coming in. Once again, HDTV has one advantage over that. Often you have the identification of the station. Your TV is capable of decoding the call letters, or what station it is. And I've seen a couple of pictures. I don't remember what Facebook group I was watching, but clear pictures from stations really far away on their television.
There's a there's actually a club that deals with this sort of thing, too, that you can check out. The Worldwide Television FM DX Association, WTFDA. And they're a TV FM club, but they also focus on those e-skip conditions as well. So we'll put a link up to their club as well. You can join their club and get a sample of their bulletin and see what they're all about. They give you tips on antennas and equipment to use for this type of DXing as well.
It's always a lot of fun, and I haven't tried DXing TV signals on HD. But I do remember a long time ago, I used a black and white TV, and I would, in the summertime, I would actually tune regularly channels 3, 4, 5, and I could get stations from far away. I remember receiving channel 4 from Alabama at some point and being happy. I was surprised. And, you know, just rabbit ears, not even an outdoor antenna, anything.
We had at the CIDX barbecue a number of years back, we had a little portable black and white TV out on the table on the deck. And just so happened, eSkip opened. And on channel 4, we had a solid half-hour transmission of The Simpsons, except it was coming from Nebraska.
Wow.
And it was like solid clear copy for like the full half hour. It was absolutely amazing. And a lot of people here for the barbecue had never experienced TV skip conditions like that. And it was just really quite amazing to see. So, yeah, you have to check. You got to, like you always say, turn the radio on. Well, you turn the radio on, turn the scanner on, turn the TV on, turn them all on. You never know what you might be getting.
Yeah, some of the DXers, one of their tips that they have, they'll leave a FM radio on an empty spot, on an empty frequency, and just leave it turned on in the background, and they do something else. So if eSkip starts happening and propagating those signals, well, you have already a hint that something's there. And it's not because you didn't hear nothing at, you know, noon that it might not be happening at 1 p.m. It sporadic E is unpredictable almost and can happen at any time. It can change from minute to minute. It can appear suddenly, have, you know, just 5 or 10 minutes, last hours. I've had the occasions of hearing signals sometimes all evening until the, you know, really like the middle of the night and continuous hours and hours of eSkip. So you got to try regularly. It's the best way. When people say, I never got eSkip, I never heard those signals, you got to listen more often. Take the time to tune around regularly. You will hear some stuff, that's for sure.
Nice with the new SDR equipment, too, that when it does start happening, you could record the spectrum.
Absolutely.
You know, and then sift through after and see what you might have picked up. Because doing it the old-fashioned way of trying to tune around, you know, and try to pick up as many as you can in the opening that you have is tricky sometimes, especially if it's a short opening and doesn't last very long. But with the SDR, if you want to record the spectrum and then go through it afterwards, that can really help you out as well.
Yep. So turn on that radio. Try it, because you'd be surprised at what you can hear. So we've got some ham radio contests now.
Yep, we do have a couple things coming up on the ham bands. One is a special event that I thought was kind of unique that you might like to try to listen to. It's from the Southgate Amateur Radio News, a pandemic special event amateur radio station from Ontario. Bill, Victor Echo 3, Echo Sierra, is now active using the special call sign of VE3 Vaccine. VACCINE, and he's in Windsor, Ontario. He'll be operating until July the 15th. It is the activity is to encourage people to get vaccinated against the COVID-19 virus during the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic. Operations have been on 30, 20, 10, and 6 meters, and he's been using single sideband as well as FT8, FT4. And you can get a QSL for this special event station via VE3 Echo Sierra.
We were talking about eSkip. Who knows? Maybe it could happen during the CQ Worldwide VHF contest. That's going 18 Zulu July 17th to 21 hours Zulu July 18th. It's sponsored by CQ. The contest promotes VHF activity on the 6 and 2-meter bands, with participation from around the world. Bands, all amateur radio frequencies on 50 megahertz, 6 meters, 144 megahertz, 2 meters, may be used as authorized by local law and license class. The modes, phone, which is SSB, AM, FM, CW, and digital modes like FT8, FT4, and MSK144. So that could be a nice one for eSkip if it happens.
And finally, we have the North American CUSO party, and this one is RTTY, 1800 Zulu July 17th to 0559 Zulu July 18th, sponsored by the American Radio Relay League. And the object is to work as many North American stations as possible in RTTY. And the bands are 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters only. There is no 160-meter activity for the RTTY contest. And as usual, we'll post the links up for all the rules and regulations of these upcoming contests.
And what happens when you have fun talking about a radio? Well, time flies, and we're already at the end.
And you run out of time, exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that happens every week. It goes by very, very quickly. We do thank you for tuning in, listening to the show every week. You can communicate with us via email, radioreport@yahoo.com. And you can get the archived version of the show through the CKUT.ca website. Or you can get it from YouTube an hour or so after the show airs, youtube.com/International Radio Report. And, of course, our Facebook group, International Radio Report. You can join the group there. You can post up messages, share stories with us, ask questions, whatever, interact with other members of the group as well. So that'll do it for this week. We invite you to join us again next Sunday for the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This is radio station Peace and...
seem to be the only one who overstands.